Hello and welcome to another Toonami Preflight, where we will today answer the age-old question, are cats great? And the answer is yes.
The answer is meow.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Meow. Goodbye.
Should we do it like the Adult Swim upfront ad that was all meows?
Meow, just do the whole show as meows. Just do the meow mix theme.
Yeah. Or we should have worn cat costumes or something. I don't know. Really falling down on the job. But today we're going to be talking about Night on the Galactic Railroad, number, we'll call it 55 on the
cool.
list. And then some of our favorite cat movies, along with a behind-the-scenes look at Dana transforming not only her voice, but her body
into a cat.
She'll be really sad that this wasn't tied into a cat theme.
Oh, yeah.
When she finds out after.
She will. Dana's a huge cat lover. So let's just go. Let's go to the 1,000-foot view. Have you ever had a cat?
Yeah. I had cats all growing up.
Your parents had cats.
Well, I guess if an animal as a child is not your own, then I guess my parents had cats. But
it's not because you didn't buy it or take care of it.
Probably. I took care of it. I didn't take care of Cougar.
When you moved
or
out.
Or Charcoal.
When you moved out on your own, have you had a cat since you moved out of your parents' house?
No.
Okay.
My
but
first
you grew
apartment
up with two cats.
Yeah.
Charcoal and
Cougar.
Those are good names.
Cougar was great. He was like a dog, but he was a cat. Like, he would come when he was called,
yeah,
and he would like vault over the fence and run up. He would also kill little critters and bring them to my dad, which
so
my dad
your
loved.
So your parents let your cats be outdoor cats, kind of.
They were indoor outdoor, yeah.
So we had they let him out to go to the bathroom, in other words.
No, Cougar would just go and come back.
But I mean, there was a pet door, and
there was like a porch where they could be inside, outside, and then at night we let him in
to
sleep.
Gotcha.
We had more than that, but those are my two favorite cats. We also had Fluffball, which was not the most well thought out name.
I think Fluff's a great name.
Well, Fluffball, but it was a short haired cat, and it wasn't like a curly bald guy.
Fluffball.
Me and my brother,
of course.
And my parents are like,
okay,
all right, cool.
And
Fluffball had a tragic demise.
And since moving out, you have only had dogs.
Right. My first apartment, I couldn't have pets. And
I mean,
then,
you don't have to justify it. I'm just.
I would have cats now. Gertie gets along. My one dog gets along with cats. My other dog, George, likes to imagine that cats get into his mouth and never get out.
He would eat the cats. Yeah.
He really wouldn't, but he would torment the shit out.
Right. Gotcha.
Many a cat we've walked by and you just see him freeze.
Yeah. Yeah. My little dog, I have two little dogs and two cats, Cheese and Fluff, both named by my daughter. Fluff is a tortoiseshell and Cheese is a tabby. And Cheese is a male and the skittish, wimpy one. And Fluff is a female and super chill, not afraid of anything.
Much like your marriage.
Yeah. But Ashton, my male dog, thinks he's a badass even though he's the same size as my cat.
Because that's your theory, right? Is all your animals...
My theory was I want to get four animals and have them all
right
be the same size.
10 pounds or so?
They're all around 10 pounds, so it's like a Mexican standoff. Everybody's like, don't do it! Don't you do it! Like, nobody can get
right. Mutually assured destruction.
Right. No one has the advantage. But Ashton sometimes gets ahead of himself and thinks he's the man, and he'll chase Cheese because Cheese is just a more skittish acting cat. In the last week while I was out of town, the animals start acting weird if I'm out of town for a long period of time. And
right, because now they have to figure out who the new king
is. They're like,
is.
Who's the boss? So Ashton started chasing Cheese more than he ever used to. And when he would corner Cheese, my cats have their claws. So when they get cornered, they're like, you know.
Yeah.
And my wife was calling me going, they thought Ashton was dying. They thought he hurt himself because they saw him chase the cat and they just heard him go, and they ran in the room. And Cheese is just sitting there, like with his tail swishing. Yeah, just looking at him. And he's not damaged or hurt in any way. He just got his nose smacked. And it happened twice while I was gone. But he's like, because I've seen it happen before. He chases a cat and my cats are totally chill, but eventually they're like, dude, stop. And that's when he's like, oh, you didn't have to hit me. Like, it's the funniest thing in the world.
This whole episode is just going to be us talking about our pets because
I love cats.
When George was a little puppy, my Great Dane, he's like 125 pounds now. But when he was like 2 months old, he was like nose to nose with our neighbor's cat through our little chicken wire fence. And the cat just did the slow cat reach up and just went, whoop-ow, and hit him right in the face and lost a claw in his nose. Like, he turned around and was like,
I got a claw on my nose.
And since then, he's been less down
he's
with
cats.
He's
got a vendetta. Okay, so anyway, obviously we know from cats is what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
We're not, no cat haters here. So, Night on the Galactic Railroad is a pretty well-known movie, considered somewhat of a classic. It was adapted from a Japanese fantasy novel. I didn't know it was written this long ago, but I found out during the research, 1937, which is, that's crazy.
The novel, not cats.
No, and in the novel, all the characters are human kids. The adaptation was done in the late 80s, and the decision the director made was to recast the story with animals. And so the main characters...
To make it more fanciful.
To make it more fanciful. And I think it was I think it's actually a smart decision.
Yeah.
But the
otherwise, it's kind of a bummer anyway. Yeah. It would be even way more of a bummer.
The overall story is about exploring death and loss and also...
through the eyes of a cat.
And also sacrifice. It's about people that sacrifice for others, and it's about losing people that you care about. So,
just like Garfield, Tale of Two Kids.
It explores some pretty deep themes, and the novel is it was about two human kids who are friends, and one of the kids' dad is an absentee father because he's on a... expedition or something?
Yeah. And
the kind
of
things
kids,
you did in the 30s. My dad's on an expedition.
The other classmates tease Giovanni because they say his dad's on an illegal... that his dad's in jail because he was on an illegal otter hunting expedition.
Right, which is only in the 1930s is your name Giovanni.
And your dad may not be in prison for stealing otter pets.
And I think the story's set in a European... you know, non... like, they don't say where, but it's obviously in Europe.
Yeah. In the movie, it's all... Esperanto.
Yeah, it's all Esperanto in the
like
movie.
Like the only...
because the director is fascinated with Esperanto. So basically, these two cats are friends, and one of them has to work all the time, so he gets picked on at school because he's not really able to be as up on his studies.
Yeah, his mom is sick.
He's the breadwinner of the family. So one night he's really sad, and he ends up being outside, and he gets on a train, and his friend's with him, and his friend's all wet, and he's like, "What happened to you?" And he's like, "Ah, I fell into the river or whatever."
He says he didn't know.
That's right. So so they get on the train, and as they're on the train, they're exploring. The train like goes into the sky, like they're exploring stars, and
yeah, they're going through the Milky Way.
And what it really is this is the train that takes people to the afterlife, is what you slowly start figuring out. And the people that get on and off the train are people that have recently passed. And they all have different stories. So you learn about the lives of these different people. And it's a lot of, again, learning about what people have sacrificed for others, until we get to sort of the end where his friend gets off the train and he wants to stay with him. And he finds out that his friend... died drowning, saving his bully, basically.
Yeah. So,
good job. I'd be like, fuck you, get out of here then. You saved the bully.
I don't know if you learned the lesson of the movie quite.
I don't know. I'm bad at that, yeah. I'd be like, did you drown the bully? Good
but yeah, job. He's... Giovanni's saying that Campanella promised him they'd always be together.
Right.
And, like, there's a scene where he's...
Will we always be together, Gil?
Yes.
Good.
He's chasing Campanella through the train... and doesn't understand why he's leaving, and then wakes up, and another classmate tells him that they can't find him.
And I don't know if this is true, but it feels to me when you watch this movie, you definitely feel echoes of Spirited Away, the train on Spirited Away, the train scene, just because I feel like there must have been some inspiration there because it's a very similar thing. Or even Galaxy Express, which is kind of another similar thing. Not that every Japanese train thing is related to this, but it was a huge seminal story in Japan and is something that is like,
it's like
for us, it's like The Wizard of Oz. It's like something
it's like the
you
best
grew up with.
Known kids book.
Yeah.
It's like Goodnight Moon.
It's a little more complicated than Goodnight Moon. But the movie itself is gorgeous. It holds up really, really well. The animation is really nice for being so
old. Yeah,
it's
85.
Yeah, and it looks dynamite.
Discotheque, I think, did a Blu-ray 2 years ago.
Yeah, which is what I watched it on, and I think probably what you have it on. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice Blu-ray, and it also is a good dub, so I think it's worth watching dubbed or subbed. But let's check out the trailer, and we can see a little bit of what it actually looks like.
Thank you.
So not the greatest promo, and I couldn't find one in HD, but I promise the movie looks really good. And I actually think that the decisions, which are weird on the surface, they're weird aesthetic decisions if you're going to adapt this novel. Why make it cats and why make it Esperanto? But I think it all adds to it feeling more like a fable, which I think actually makes it a more powerful story and something that relates over time more than if it was just literally set in the 30s.
Yeah.
I think kids today would have trouble relating to it. But it's sort of a slow movie.
That's what I was going to say. It's a little slow to watch now as a kid's movie.
Right.
And it's a bummer, but
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
If you're not seven, and you probably aren't if you're watching this, you should check it out.
Yeah. So that led us to our topic for today's broadcast, which
is favorite railroad movies.
What's your favorite cat movie? We could have done favorite railroad movies just as easily. So like we said, we like cats, so it wasn't that hard for us to come up with cat movies. So I'm going to start with a cat movie that I liked a lot as a kid, and then during my recovery from my surgery, it was on TV and I watched it a couple times. Because I just love it. It's hilarious and stupid and good in equal measure, I think. And that is, of course,
that's what makes a good cat movie, I think.
The 1985 forgotten classic, Cat's Eye.
Yeah.
This is the first screenplay Stephen King wrote. He didn't direct the film, but he wrote the screenplay. And it's based around two short stories from one of his short story collections, and then a third story he wrote just for this movie.
Are they called Cocaine and the Magic White Powder?
One is called Quitters Incorporated, which I think is one of my favorite stories of his, and one starring James Woods, and then one is it's about a tennis pro. I can't remember what it's called, but that one stars the guy from Airplane.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's really good, too. And then the worst story is actually the one that's the framing device for the whole movie, and also the one that he wrote specifically for the movie, which is the Drew Barrymore story, which has the cat in it.
I like that Drew Barrymore
face. But basically, this story is about, there's some weird, goofy shit in this movie where, like, the cat walks by it's a cat that's a stray. So you start off with this cat, and the cat is the through line through all these short stories. So the cat, like, in one scene, a character's like, "Get out of here, damn cat!" And then you go to the story.
It's the traveling sisterhood Yaya cat.
Yeah, so then the cat ends up having a vision, looking in a window of a toy store, seeing a doll with Drew Barrymore's face, and she's like, "Help me! I need your help!" So the cat basically finds her house, and they let her in, and the parents are like, "We don't like this cat," and this centers around an old wives' tale where people would say, don't let your cat sleep in your room because they'll steal your breath. And what happened, the way that came about is that cats like to sleep on some people's chests. My cat did that once in a while. And I don't know if...
Did you die?
No, I didn't, sadly. But I don't know if at some point when you had a little kid, maybe you shouldn't let them because they'll just...
Yeah,
it'll
like
make it hard to breathe. I don't know.
Some kind of disease or something?
No, it's an old wives' tale. So there are several scenes where they kind of make you wonder, is the cat there trying to steal her breath? But it turns out she has this little troll creature that lives in her room that gives her bad dreams and ultimately wants to kill her. And the cat is there to protect her. So the end of the movie is the cat battling this little troll thing. So like I said, profoundly silly and stupid, but also awesome in equal measure.
Yeah. James Wood anti-no smoking or quitting smoking.
The first two survives. Quitters Incorporated and the one with the tennis pro who the guy makes him walk around the ledge of a building.
Yeah.
Those are both great stories. The third one is the dumbest one, but that's the one with the cat's eye, so we got to show you that one. So here is the trailer for Cat's Eye.
Stephen King's Cat's Eye.
So I like dumb 80s horror movies, and so
there
you of
go.
Course that's right up my alley. And then next up is another 80s horror movie, Paul Schrader's cult classic 1982's Cat People. starring Natasha Kinski and Malcolm McDowell, and the late, great John Hurd, who just passed away. So this movie is about a brother and sister who are from an ancient order of basically catware people, and she does not want to admit that she's a possible catware person, and they have a strong urge to mate with one another because that's what the cat people do. So there's an incest sort of backline. And it's a totally weird, messed up movie. It's a remake of a 30s horror movie. But it's got some really cool imagery, and it's got some pretty great montages. And it's totally, it's weird because it's a good writer director, because Paul Schrader wrote Taxi Driver, and like, he's done a lot of good movies. Taking on a totally profoundly stupid idea, but treating it totally seriously. This movie at these days is probably best known as the movie that David Bowie made the song Cat People for, which was then used by Quentin Tarantino in one of his movies. And probably that's what it should be best remembered for. But it's got some good scenes, and I love Malcolm McDowell, and I'm a fan of Natasha Kinski. So let's check out the theatrical trailer for Cat People.
I'm not like you.
See these eyes so green. I can stare for a thousand years. Just be still with me. Just wouldn't believe what I've been through.
I love you.
And as you can see, there's a collector's edition out on Scream Factory, which is a very good Blu-ray if you like horror movies.
Or cats.
Or cats. And then finally, my daughter would kill me if I didn't pick this movie because it's her favorite film, because she is a massive cat lover. She's a total cat lunatic. And that is, of course, the 1960s classic Disney film, The Aristocats, which, fun fact, I don't really like most of the Disney animated films, but I do like this era in particular with 101 Dalmatians and the Aristocats and the Rescuers. That particular look,
Jungle Book,
I really like. Yeah, I like the look of the Jungle Book. I'm not a big fan of the actual story.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, I like Robin Hood. Yeah, that whole era. Yeah. So the Aristocats, I showed my daughter when she was young because she loves cats. Her other favorite movie is The Cat Returns, which, the Studio Ghibli movie, which we've talked about right, a bunch of times already. So, like, her two favorite movies are The Aristocats and The Cat Returns, and then Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I don't understand how she's 17, and those are her favorite movies. But who knew? But so The Aristocats, it does stand the test of time. The Aristocats, she saw when she was young and then started watching, like, daily for a number of years. So I've probably seen this movie 35, 40 times maybe, and surprisingly I can still enjoy it most of the time. Let's take a look at, I think this is the Thomas O'Malley song, O'Malley the Alley Cat. It's definitely a product of its time in terms of the characters. Like, there's some jazzbo pseudo-racist sort of,
not really pseudo,
no, pseudo compared to some of the other stuff that was out then. And Thomas O'Malley is like a hep cat, you know, and there's a lot of Beat Generation kind of jokes in there. Zsa Zsa Gabor is wonderful as the main character. And just great animation all around. If you love animation, it's a movie you should probably see. But so here's the Thomas O'Malley song when Thomas meets Zsa Zsa Gabor's character for the first time.
I like the chicharroni, like they make at home, or a healthy fish with a big backbone. I'm Abraham de Lacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley, O'Malley the alley cat. I've got that wanderlust, gotta walk the scene.
gotta kick up highway dust. Feel the grass that's green. Gotta strut them city streets, showing off my E-clad. Yeah, telling my friends of the social elite, or some cute cat I happen to meet, that I'm Abraham DeLacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley, O'Malley the Alley Cat.
Monsieur, your name seems to cover all of Europe.
Well, of course. I'm the only cat of my kind. I'm king of the highway, prince of the boulevard, duke of the avant-garde. The world is my backyard. So if you're going my way, that's the road you want to seek. Calcutta to Rome, or home sweet home in Paris. Monofiki you all.
Oh boy, an alley cat.
Shh, listen.
I only got myself and this big old world. But I sip that cup of life with my fingers curled. I don't worry what road to take. I don't have to think of that. Whatever I take is the road I make. It's the road of life. Make no mistake for me. Yeah, Abraham DeLacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley. O'Malley, the alley cat. That's right, and I'm very proud of that. Yeah.
Bravo. Very good. You are a great talent.
So yeah, not Zsa Zsa Gabor, Ava Gabor, my mistake, who plays Duchess, the main character. But delightful.
It is.
It's from 1970.
I thought it was older than that.
Nope. A year before I was born, because I'm old.
Because you're old.
I am.
Did you watch that movie growing up?
No, I didn't watch any Disney movies growing up, because as soon as someone started breaking into song, I was like, fuck you, change the channel immediately.
Yeah.
That was just not my thing. It still really isn't my thing, but there's an occasional musical I'll enjoy.
Like, oh, what was the conversation? Oh, Blues Brothers.
Don't love Blues Brothers, actually, but yeah. I do. I like the original Willy Wonka.
Okay.
And I like...
Chicago?
No. And I like Sweeney Todd because there's murder. Because
if there's blood,
there's murder. Then
and straight okay. blood, straight blade razors. Yeah. It
overpowers my inherent disgust of people bursting into song.
La La Land is the exception for you.
Yeah.
Those are excellent choices. Up first for me is Lawrence Gutterman's 2001 classic Cats and Dogs.
this movie is so bad.
It really is. But
it's so fucking terrible. I saw it on video.
I saw it on a plane.
It's from 1991?
2001.
Oh, 2001. Yeah, I was going to say, I saw this movie with Bella shortly after it came out on video, because that was when we were just like, talking cats, let's go.
This movie is really dumb, but I still like it. It's... there's a bloodhound.
How did you see it? I mean, you don't have a kid.
I saw it on a plane.
What was your... Oh, you watched it on a plane. You were just... There was, like, no other choice. Pretty much. You were like, oh, well, this is what I'm doing.
It's like, another cocktail and cats and dogs it is.
Gotcha.
A bloodhound buddy gets captured by cats. Yep. And they have to send in a secret service or secret hit squad, SEAL team, dogs.
And this is the movie where cats are evil. Like, all cats are evil and all dogs are good.
Yeah.
Is this movie. Yeah.
And it's Bella the next one.
Yeah, it was the flip. But Bella.
The next one, they even it out a little bit.
Bella was really mad about
that's
that.
That's what I think
she's
a lot
like,
of people
cats
were.
Aren't mean. Like,
but Mr. Tinkles, the head bad cat, is trying to hatch a plan to make everyone allergic to dogs so that cats will take over. And there's just a bunch of really dumb but funny cats and dogs.
Funny.
Humor shit. Amusing. Well, let's check out the scene of Mr. Tinkles and you be the judge.
I will creep into the dog's center of power and make them quake in fear at the very mention of my name!
Mr. Tinkles! Ah! Sid!
Quickly!
Where are you?
Hurry!
There you are, Mr. Tinkers. I've been looking everywhere for you. Ah, where have you been? Oh, Mr. Mason will be so pleased to see you. Oh, I take you to him. You're a stinky kitty. First, you have to have a bath. Yes, you like.
Mr. Tinkle, don't forget to wash behind me.
Holy shit, that's terrible.
That's funny.
It's not funny. That's one of the movies that like makes you rethink being a parent when you're sitting in the theater going, fuck.
What have I done?
Yeah.
Isn't that where you just go to sleep?
That is why I started taking naps during movies with my daughter, yeah. And then she'd get mad at me because I'd snore really loud and ruin the movie.
Yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't have slept through Cats and Dogs because it's fucking delightful.
Didn't they remake it as Boss Baby?
They also remade it as... What's the other... Anyway.
I don't know.
The same... It's a basic duality of man. It's the Jungian thing.
Sure.
Next for me is 2011 Chris Miller's Puss in Boots, which is basically just Shrek with Antonio Banderas, which makes it better for me than Shrek, because I like Antonio Banderas as Puss in Boots, and who could say no to those eyes?
Mm-hmm. I can.
Did you see... What did you see any of the Shrek movies in
all
the theater?
All the Shrek movies in the theater.
Did you see Puss in Boots in the theater? Or is that
Thank God,
old?
No, but I did have to watch it on video because Bella was at the end of her cartoon phase. But
yeah.
It was too irresistible for her to not want to check
I
out.
I don't blame her at all. That shit is delightful. Let's check out.
She did love the Shrek movies, though, a
it's,
lot.
Yeah. I saw...
She loved the shit out of the first Shrek.
I saw the first Shrek in the theater. I feel like I never saw... How many Shreks are there? Three?
No, there's like
four.
Five now. Yeah, there's like five now.
I think I saw the second one.
I saw the original trilogy, and after that I haven't.
Yeah. I can't remember if I saw the second one in the theater. I've seen the first three.
Didn't they make a sequel to this, too? Isn't there a Puss in Boots, too?
There is. Back in Boots, I think is what it's called. I don't think that's what it's called, but it should have been called that. Let's check out the trailer for Puss in Boots and listen to the dulcet tones of Antonio Banderas.
Lives. Arrest them!
You got any idea what they do to eggs in prison? I'll tell you this. It ain't over easy.
Oh. One destiny. My name would become legend. DreamWorks Puss in Boots.
Awesome.
Holy frijoles.
Si.
That's terrible.
I like it.
You suck.
Cool. Last for me is a movie that was on the Disney Channel as a young Gil.
Was it Disney Channel? I thought it was like an ABC movie of the week, and then they reran it on Disney Channel later. Like
you're thinking of Norman Takkar's other movie, The Apple Dumpling Gang.
Gotcha.
And this is The Cat from Outer Space.
And I think they remade this in recent years for the Disney Channel. I think there's been a
modern, oh, is there?
I think there's been a modern remake.
Well, I prefer the classic 1978 version, where an alien comes in a UFO, but crazily enough, looks exactly like
a cat.
And then a bunch of hijinks occur, and they start fixing horse races, which is a perfect,
perfect
medium for a
kids storyline
in the 70s. It's like some.
They go to the off track betting. And
basically, he needs $150,000 or something, like not an insane amount of money by today's standards for like a heist. But so they start fixing horse races and then they start fixing like card games. Somehow the cat's collar. It's not that he knows who's going to win. He can make something happen.
Oh, gotcha.
And then the cat ends up, they don't get the parlay bet. Like there's a fairly intricate
a lot of gambling
terms.
This may be why you like it.
It seeded the itch early.
Yeah, you're a gambling degenerate. So,
But I think this is the trailer for The Cat from Outer Space. So let's check it out.
My name is Zunar J5/9 Doric 47.
Get me the Pentagon. Red priority.
You're a cat.
He's the cat from outer space. You're serious?
I'm serious.
While you and I are talking this very minute, some slimy, green-headed, 12-legged creep could be crawling into the White House.
You're trying to tell me that your little pussycat
came from another planet, from another galaxy, in a spacecraft, and landed right here on Earth.
We're up against genius.
I gotta tell you something, pal. It's dumb. Very dumb. Holy cow.
Sandy Duncan. It's a spacey comedy that'll boggle your mind.
It is mind-boggling. The man who owns the secret of this device could control the universe.
You are under arrest.
And a pussycat, General.
And a pussycat.
He's got his paws on the power.
The power that cat possesses is awesome.
You betcha, Charlie, and if you know what's good for you, you'll land this thing and let Lucy Bellamy...
Quiet.
Okay.
Who's flying that plane?
Walt Disney Productions, The Cat from Outer Space.
I'm serious.
I just want.
It's a great logo,
I'm serious.
Right?
Just to put the logo is great. I like the VO guy is like cracking up right as he reads it because it's so joyful and fun. That's a cat from outer space.
It's a delightful family comedy.
I think I'm starting to get that when you say delightful, I should just leave as fast as possible. Because when you call something delightful, it's usually another word for it sucks.
I think this has been a delightful show so far.
See,
your performance has been extra delightful.
Exactly. So that's exactly what I'm saying.
Let's check out some of your favorite cat movies. The Adult Swim Facebook picks, The Aristocats.
Excellent
choice. Cat from Outer Space.
Milo and Otis. Can't get down with Milo and Otis because they kind of damage those animals. Oliver and Company I haven't seen, believe it or not.
I
think they mean Cat's Eye. Do they mean?
I think it's Cat's Eye.
They mean Cat's Eye, but maybe there's a movie called Cat's Eyes, too. I don't know.
Oh, please.
Why don't you look it up? And then the Toonami Facebook choices.
No, I think they're just misremembering.
The Toonami Facebook choices are, again, the Aristocats, and then The Cat Returns, which I think are two excellent choices. Oliver and Company, again. Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties, which I'm thinking is a troll. And Cats Don't Dance, which I've never heard of. Cats Don't Dance.
What year is Garfield, Tale of Two Kitties?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I had to see Garfield in the theater.
2006. Too late to not be.
Let's look up Cats Don't Dance, just so I can find out what Cats Don't Dance is about. I mean, other than...
They don't dance.
The titular non-dancing felines.
Cats Don't Dance. Scott Bakula and Jasmine Guy, 1997. Danny, an ambitious singing, dancing cat, goes to Hollywood and overcomes several obstacles to fulfill his dream of becoming a movie star.
Is it animated?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. So there you go.
Natalie Cole.
I think we have yet to see a live-action cat movie that isn't really terrible. But there are some animated...
The Cat from Outer Space.
But there are some animated cat movies that are pretty good. Well, thanks for putting your choices in there. Once again, you guys got a lot of the best ones. And now we can move on to our sneak peeks.
Once again, so did we.
For this Saturday night. Of Toonami. Keep in mind again that we have moved up to 11 p.m. and we've added Attack on Titan Season 2 reruns at 3 a.m. So we now go from 11 p.m. to 3:30 a.m. starting with Dragon Ball Super.
We've rebranded reruns to secondary viewing opportunities.
Secondary viewing opportunity of Attack on Titan. So let's check out the topical promo for this week's Dragon Ball Super episode number 28.
On the next all-new episode of Dragon Ball Super.
Hear us!
There you are!
Well, that's a hell of a way to greet someone, isn't it?
What is it you want from me, Champa?
Doesn't he kind of look like Lord Beerus?
Yeah, like if Lord Beerus ain't another Lord Beerus.
Dragon Ball Super, Saturday at 11.
I don't like where this is going.
Hey! Hey! Wait for me, Vegeta!
Only Toonami.
So next delightful. Up, we have delightful. That was better than delightful.
It was.
Next up, we have a sort of so Outlaw Star is back and been re-released on home video on Blu-ray on a remastered form, and we wanted to sort of pay tribute to it.
Oh.
Awesome. So hope you guys enjoyed that. And then that will air tomorrow night, of course, during Toonami. And then next up, we have Dana Swanson went with us to Comic-Con to do our pre-flight panel. And she had an amazing costume, but it did not come without its sacrifices on her end.
Both physical and emotional.
And yeah. So Dana decided to film the process because it was a somewhat arduous process. So this is the behind the scenes of the creation of Dana's Sarah costume. And we're calling it Behind the Suit. So let's check this out.
Hey, everybody. It was so awesome to meet a few of you at San Diego Comic-Con a few weeks back. And you'll notice that I did not look like this. I looked like this, a dancing artificial intelligence sprite known as Sarah. So let's go behind the suit and figure out what it took to turn this into this. For the past 3 years, we have worked with the esteemed designer Renaissance woman Ashley Zeltzer to make our Comic-Con costumes. She's done a little bit of everything, such as paint the murals around William Street. Pretty awesome.
What is that, Ashley?
Hmm?
What is that?
A work in progress.
If you're making a costume, what are some of the first steps? Well, in her case, she got some sketches and a 3D model, Sarah. And then she got some measurements. Lots and 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 lots, lots of measurements. Measurements that got some weird reactions.
Looks great.
Hello.
Hey, thank you. Whatever's going on here.
Really, what do you think's going on?
Protection against solar flares.
Measurements like getting your feet wrapped in tinfoil. Maybe also your boobs wrapped in tinfoil. And then maybe a snack if you need to take a break.
You need sticks. They're for eating. They're one of the only things I can eat.
After that, Ashley came back a few times to try on different pieces like armor. Hey, check that out.
I feel like I'm playing laser tag.
Now, we eventually went with a look that was a little bit more like light up Tina Turner, but I do love that wig.
This is the new Sarah look. What do you think?
As an option, she wanted to make a silicone mold of my face, which was something I was a little scared about doing.
Should we come up with a system of making? I think if something's wrong, I think you should go like this.
Okay. We just wanted to make sure that I had a mask if needed, in case like something went wrong with the face paint.
So I'm done. I think. I don't know. Look at this. This is it. This is your fast mobile cheapy face pack. So that's my face on the inside. And two over.
Now I lost a little bit of hair in the process and a couple of eyelashes. That's just the nature of the beast. You get some free waxing and you're good to go. So what was the final look? A banana yellow bodysuit because I'm kind of the second banana. A cool wig cap, a light up wig, a saucy breastplate, LED wings, and glow in the dark paint instead of a mask. Oh, I also had Steve Bloom as my arm candy.
This is art imitating life.
Aren't you jealous?
Oh, fairy crotch mother, can you grant me 3 riches?
One!
I want to be a real boy.
Okay, granted.
If you go to Don't Play on Saturday night, you can watch Snummy, you can see me, you can see Steve, and we do this on Snummy. This is all we do.
That is all we do.
This is all we do.
Okay, let's face it. You guys really wanted to know about his Tom suit. I'm sorry this isn't a piece about his Tom suit. All I can tell you is that his Tom suit had a pee flap.
Can you see okay?
Sorry.
Okay.
It's a here.
Anyway, thank you for saying hi in person if you said hi in person. I'm so excited that I got to sign all those Retroband figures and all those comic books. I hope to do it again soon. And you know what? Stay gold, just like this banana suit.
So thank
that
you.
Was yeah. A significantly higher level of sacrifice than me putting on my pajamas and robe and having an X lipstick onto my cheek.
You've never really been about sacrifice for...
Why?
anything, but definitely not for this stuff.
Seems so
but Dana has, and we salute her for it, for that delightful suit she had to wear.
Delightful's good?
No, delightful's it was arduous, shitty process, so it was delightful process.
Gotcha.
And then finally, we have this week's Adult Swim single. Every week for the entire year, we will be releasing one new free song a week at adultswim.com/singles. They're streaming free, and we've been doing it now. This is probably the 10th week, I think.
I believe this is the 12th week.
The 12th week. Nice. 3 months in. So this week's song is by the legendary Venetian Snares, who is I guess you would call him IDM back in the day. But Venetian Snares has been around forever, makes amazing electronic music, gave us a totally crazy track. So I'm really happy. I've always wanted to use a Venetian Snares thing. So let's check out Simple Tasks by Venetian Snares. So you can get that at adultswim.com/singles again, along with all the last 12 weeks of songs, and come back next week for another single. They release every Wednesday. And then finally, we have one announcement that we think will make some of you happy.
Thank you for sticking around throughout the entire show.
And Gil's terrible choices.
And Jason's.
Gil, would you like to do the announcement?
Sure. So
never mind. I changed my mind. No, actually, you go ahead. Sorry. No, please. I want you to make it. We are going to start showing Outlaw Star. We're going to begin airing it. What's the date?
This is your announcement.
The 19th at 2:30 a.m. in place of Ghost in the Shell. So Ghost in the Shell Season 1 will wrap up, and we will begin airing all 26 episodes of Outlaw Star Remastered.
Most likely all 26.
Most likely all 26 episodes. Episode 23,
we're going to have to
figure out what happens on the Hot Springs 10-ray episode. We're fairly confident we'll be able to air it. So just we'll work on that one. But in the meantime,
we'll let you know in late March when it hits.
So next week we'll have a promo for you for Outlaw Star. And please tell your friends we're bringing it back for a limited engagement. And that's it. For tonight's pre-flight episode, we'll see you next week with an all-new one. I don't know what the hell we're going to be talking about.
Who does?
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's
not
the joy
us.
Of it. That's the joy of it.
We'll find out.
We'll find out together.
Tune in and see.
All right.
Toonami, every Saturday night from 11 to 3:30.